Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Summit.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jacksonville!
Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Baptist Health, Carey Limousine, Community First Credit Union, Ticket Exchange, Wachovia, Sonny's Barbecue, and by Everbank.
Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith
begins right now.
And we welcome you in. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudduth. Right here on Jaguars Radio, Cole Pepper here, along with the senior editor of Jaguars.com, Vic Ketchman. Good evening, Vic.
Good evening.
And the Jaguars general manager, Gene Smith. And, Gene, how are you doing today?
Not so good. Certainly in the NFL, if you're going to enjoy the good times, you got to be man enough to enjoy the tough times. And, you know, we certainly got to regroup here and get back to who we are. And that's a lot better football than what we saw yesterday.
And we'll get to some comments about the game yesterday. But we do have some news on the Jaguars front in terms of the roster. We want to get to that right away. The Jaguars today waiving Michael Coe and Ernest Wilford and signed Gerald Alexander back to the squad. Also waived quarterback Brett Ratliff from the practice squad. And those have been released, but we've got some stuff that's come in here just in the last couple of minutes. Keith Knoll has been signed to the practice squad, a quarterback who played some with St. Louis last year,
I believe. He started four games for him a year ago.
And signed Eric Alexander to the active roster, which is a guy who's been a primarily special teams, but also a linebacker with the Patriots.
That's correct, out of LSU.
Well, tell us, is there anything about these guys that, particularly on Alexander, a guy who's got some good NFL experience? I think he's been in the league 5 or 6 years.
Well, I think when you look at our team right now, we have some injuries, so there's some depth concerns, and that happens throughout an NFL season. So we got some guys coming in here that certainly, based on the health of our roster, and some of it certainly at times is based on performance, you know, impacts, decisions you got to make. And Monday, around the league, there's a lot of roster moves based on what took place the prior day, and today was a busy day.
The number one question I'm getting from fans today is about Trent Edwards. As soon as he was released, you know, fans bombarded me with, are the Jaguars going to take a look at Trent Edwards? So are the Jaguars going to take a look at Trent Edwards?
Sure. We look at every player, you know, each night. Pro scouting is really pretty much a year-round process. And so we process every player. And, you know, we've done a lot of work on him, you know, coming out of college and in the NFL. And certainly he played well here with Dick Duran. And he's, you know, he's done some good things in the NFL. It's unfortunate the way things have worked out in Buffalo. But, you know, there's a lot of players around the league today that would like to have a win and would like to be with their team. And sometimes things happen where they don't win or they are released. And that's just life in the NFL.
All right. Of course, we remind you, if you want to interact with the show, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. There's already a long string of, 120 comments or something. You can make it right there under the Jaguars Monday comment, and the best ones will make it on the air. And so we'll review some of those here as we go along through the show. A day like this where you've had two difficult losses, is it tough to come into work? Or do you get energized by knowing that you've got some work to do? You know, what's your Monday morning like after a game like that?
Monday's really the longest day of the week in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of things that need to be done. You know, the evaluation of every player on the roster. Certainly we have meetings. We got to get medical information to make well-informed decisions. I mean, you got to get players in at times for visits. You got to meet with players that maybe you are releasing. We do our advanced meeting, our pro staff with our coaching staff. And that's an advanced scouting, you know, of the upcoming opponent. So there are a lot of things that really take place. So it's a very busy day, and yet, win or lose, I'm always eager to come in to the stadium.
Pass defense. You were adamant, the team was adamant when last season ended and we went into the offseason, adamant about fixing the pass rush. And, of course, the broad theory was that if you fix the pass rush, you'll fix a element of the pass defense. And the bottom line is you guys have fixed the pass rush. You know, you've got 7 sacks in 3 games, which is half as many sacks as you had all last season. But it's not having an impact on the pass defense. Would you talk about that? Why not? And is the pass, does it mean that sacks are overrated?
Well, I don't think it means sacks are overrated. You know, I don't know what level the secondary play will improve to this season. I do know it is my hope by the end of the season it'll be much improved because of the pass rush. I am still a believer that the best pass coverage is a pass rush. It's just getting continuity on the back end. We've had a number of different players in the secondary performing through the first 3 games. Go ahead.
If you had been able to sign Darren Sharper, would he have helped you?
I believe so. I mean, he actually played at a high level a year ago for an older player. And certainly that's what New Orleans felt, you know, in bringing him back, you know, as a PUP player. He's kind of an insurance policy for him. And, you know, a guy like him would have brought some presence in the middle of the field.
May I continue?
Please.
Okay. I'll continue with the interrogation. the number one topic in town for all reporters, for all fans, of course, is David Garrard. I mean, he's just it's sad. I mean, it's just the overkill on that position is fantastic, and it's not just in Jacksonville. It's everywhere. It's the nature of the position. All right. Having said all of that, it's tough to explain away the fact that the Jaguars haven't drafted a quarterback since 2003. And I look back through these drafts and I see that the team passed on Ben Roethlisberger. The team selected Reggie Williams instead of Ben Roethlisberger. A year later, the Jaguars selected Matt Jones instead of Aaron Rodgers. And here's the one that really chafes me. Instead of just picking Chad Henne, he traded away a whole bunch of picks for Quentin Groves to move up. Is that what I'm saying? Is it fair? I mean, should and I know you weren't the general manager at the time. Should this team have been more vigilant, diligent about drafting quarterbacks, about addressing that position?
Yes. You could certainly self-scout yourself, and there were some sound things not being done. And I'll be very honest, as a part of the process, I don't remove myself from that.
Would you have done it if you were the general manager? Would you have taken Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger was a player, since I've been in scouting, that to this day, I'm amazed that he lasted on the board that long.
So you were at his workout, weren't you?
I did a lot of work on him.
You couldn't convince him to pick him, huh?
No, we had, you know, taken Byron the year before, and there's a lot of ways to do things. And certainly at that point in time, Byron was our future as an organizational decision. And
but Roethlisberger would have been the highest rated guy on your board when it was your turn to pick, right?
Roethlisberger at that time would have been the highest rated player. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Some comments on the quarterback situation, which everybody's talking about. The quarterback situation right now is the Jaguars are 1-2 after the loss yesterday. Reminder to visit Sports Mania today for your chance to win the ultimate Jaguars game day experience. A limo ride, club seats, and Sky Lounge tailgate party passes for the Jaguars-Colts game. Register for free at your closest Sports Mania in Jacksonville. And Jaguars Flex Packs are now available. Select any 3 of the remaining home games. Build your own 3-game mini-season ticket FlexPack seats start at just $45 per game. Call 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com to create your very own FlexPack today. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudden, right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio.
Second and 8 at the 47. Here's Dick back to throw. Steps up into the pocket. Going to get hit and sacked and pulled to the ground. And Terrence Knighton got him back at the 38-yard line.
One of the sacks from yesterday's Jaguars game against the Philadelphia Eagles, a 28-3 Philly victory. When the Jaguars are at home, as they will be once again on Sunday, come on by. Check out Teal Town 3 hours prior to every Jaguars home game. Live bands, a huge LED screen, interactive games, football drills, and specially discounted concessions, including $2 draft beers, admission free with no game ticket required. Teal Town, just south of the Pepsi Plaza at Everbank Field. Time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. A couple of guys in boots today in the locker room, Vic. Aaron Campman and also Justin Durant. And so Campman, who has been just a fantastic addition, continues to make plays, would be a guy that...
Don't be misled by boots. No. Maurice Jones-Drew was wearing one after the game in San Diego. Sometimes I think they just like to keep their feet warm.
All right, that's the injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville's Circle of Care. All right, some of the questions coming in on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. Are the Jaguars actively seeking help at the safety position for this season? Of course, we mentioned just a bit ago that Gerald Alexander was brought back.
We are. It's one position that still has to perform better. I know it sounds repetitive, but we got to get some playmaking out of that position. And once you start a season, it's very difficult to upgrade, a position on your football team. But certainly we monitor, again, the waiver wire every day. And we just got to get some continuity on the back end. We really do. I'm talking about our corners and our safeties. And I'd have to believe that the way we played, we can certainly play a lot better.
Derek Cox has become the mystery of 2010. Based on trying to read between the lines and not between the lines in what Jack has said in recent weeks and especially today, I'm talking about Jack Del Rio, I get the impression that Derek Cox got off his game, fell off his game, and Coach Del Rio wanted him to take a step back and rediscover his game. It would appear, based on the fact that he was active but didn't play yesterday, that he had yet to find his game as of yesterday. Can you give us any information on Derek Cox and where he is in his attempt to rediscover the game that he clearly had last year when he led the Jaguars in interceptions as a rookie?
Well, I mean, I thought when you talk about putting pressure on the quarterback, we were certainly last in the league last year. And, he did some very good things as a rookie. I mean, I think next to playing quarterback, cornerback is probably the next most challenging position to play as a rookie. And, you got to have a short memory. You certainly got to have a skill set to line up against some of the best in the league. And I'll tell you, in our division, he lines up against some good quarterbacks and some good receivers. So he was tested well. It's unfortunate what took place. I mean, nobody wants to do exceptionally well over this guy. This guy's got a lot of self-pride. Just like Terrence a week ago, he did not play probably his best game since he's been here, and he rebounded and came back and did some dominant things against the Eagles. And I feel like, Derek, when he earns his opportunity to get back into the lineup, he'll do some good things. I mean, I have a lot of confidence in him, and, again, I think the world of him, of how he has approached all this. He has stayed very positive, and he understands that there's things that he can continue to improve upon.
You're not paying him as a top 10 pick. He was drafted in the third round. I'm assuming he's being paid as a third round pick. So let me try to paint this for you. It's always been my understanding that a safety has got to be a good tackler, a tough guy, willing to come up, stick his nose in. Very instinctive, very bright, because he's got to make calls back there. And he's got to have enough speed to get to the sideline. Well, to me, that all sounds like Derek Cox. I mean, with this team as troubled as it is at safety, why not play him there?
Well, because he can play corner.
You just don't want to make the move down as long as, I mean, because you think he's a premium position player.
Well, corners are tough to find, especially big corners. It's not to say he couldn't play it. He's certainly smart enough to play it. He's instinctive enough to play it. He's got good ball skills, and he will tackle. So when you look at him body-wise, you might say that he's got a free safety body. He's a big corner.
Where's Darren Sharper from?
William and Mary.
That's where Cox is from.
Sure is. It is indeed.
Yeah. They turn out good safeties.
Apparently they do, yeah.
Mark Duffner's from William & Mary.
And good linebacker coach.
Thomas Jefferson was from William & Mary, by the way. That's a whole separate. I don't know what kind of a
safety
Mike
Tomlin
a
William & Mary guy?
Yes, he is.
There you go.
All right, another comment here from one of the...
Lou Holtz coached to William & Mary.
There you go.
I'm sorry.
Bill & Mary. One of the Facebook questions asking about clearly seeing what's happened here over the last 2 weeks. Is there one particular key that is concerning, or is it a matter of several different things going on? Is there one particular thing that concerns you right now?
Well, after yesterday, there's a number of things that are concerning, but there's a lot of things on the plus side, because they can be coached and corrected. If they're physical limitations, that's a difficult one. But if their technique, if their footwork, if their eyes, offensive line play.
Okay.
That can be a problem if you don't have good footwork, if you overset, if you get high in your stance. There's certain things that can happen to you, especially against good players in this league.
Eugene Monroe got a look at a different kind of defensive end yesterday, didn't he? Would you talk a little bit about Trent Cole?
Sure. Trent Cole is one of the better defensive ends in the league. He does not have the speed of Dwight Freeney, but he has a good blend of quickness, and he's got explosive hips. So he's a guy that can get up and under you and walk you into the quarterback. Plus, he's got the quickness to get on the edge. And when he gets on the edge, he's got a high running motor. And he created problems the whole day yesterday. And it's a situation where when you know coming in the game, this guy's going to be a factor. You got to scheme this guy. He's like Freeney, a little bit more of a power player. And Freeney's got a little bit more speed, but they both have quickness and good motors.
All right, again, Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. If you want to jump aboard and make a comment there, we'll take the best comments and questions and have them there for the general manager, Gene Smith. Season ticket holders, use your Jaguars rewards card. When you purchase at least 10 gallons of gate gasoline, you get $2 in JagBucks. For details, go to Jaguars.com. Test drive the new 2011 Ford Super Duty, the new 2011 Ford Mustang, or the all-new Ford Fiesta, only at your local Southern Ford dealers. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Suddeth. Couple of bits of sad news today. One NFL legend, one former Jaguar passing away. We'll touch on that as we continue on here on Jaguars Radio.
Here's second and eight. Vic at his own 35-yard line, driving right to left. And he'll take it himself, and he's going to get hit and sacked. Jaguars with a big play. Terrence Knighton there along with Tyson Alualu.
More of the action from yesterday's Jaguars-Eagles game. Vote for your favorite MVP teacher to be the Community First Credit Union MVP Teacher of the Week. Your teacher can win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdowns for Teachers. Visit CommunityFirstFL.org for details. Welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sutton. Vic Ketchman, Cole Pepper, and the general manager here. All right, to mention before we went to break, a couple of sad bits of news. George Blanda has passed away.
Get out.
George Blanda passed away, who, by the way, Pete Banaszek absolutely idolized. Played with him, you know, as a young player. And talk about a guy who obviously loved the game of football. Played well into his 40s and was kicking and doing a little quarterbacking on the side when called upon. I don't know if you ever had a chance, Gene, to meet Blanda throughout the course of your time, or have
any
memories
of him.
I'm sure you have some Blanda stories.
I'll be quick. And now I know why I had a reader ask me today to tell a story on Bland. I didn't know he passed away. My first wife was assigned as a teacher to an elementary school in Youngwood, Pennsylvania. And the school used to be Youngwood High School, where George Blanda was a star player. And she came home from the first day. It was, you know, an old place, and I knew she didn't like being assigned there. And I said, "So how was school? How's the school?" And she said, "It's old, it's outdated," and I could tell she was down. She said, "But I made a friend." And I said, "Yeah? Who?" She says, "The janitor, his name is Mr. Blanda." I said, she said, "He helped carry my books up." And I said, "Ask Mr. Blanda if he has a son named George." She says, "Do you know him?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Okay." So she came home the next day and she said, "Oh, I asked Mr. Blanda if he has a son named George. He says he does, but he lives in California." And I said, "Yeah, that's him." Well, about a following Sunday, was sitting in the living room, and there was a football. Raiders were on TV, 4 o'clock game, and the announcer says, "And George Bland is coming on to attempt a field goal," and she looked at me, and I said, "That's George."
There you go. The son of a janitor, right?
Yeah.
Bland, by the way, retired. He was 48 years 11 months when he retired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's remarkable enough that, you know, Brett Favre is doing it, but
I might have covered his last game. 75 AFC title game, would that have been his last game?
Yes, yeah, before the 76 season he retired.
Yeah, it was one of the all-time great games I ever covered.
And I didn't realize this, but he spent 10 years with the Bears, part of one with the Colts, 7 with the Oilers, then his final 9 with the Raiders. I remember
played
that.
Played in 4 decades,
yeah.
The 40s, the 50s, the 60s. In the 70s.
Yeah. I remember Houston and the Raiders. I did not realize Baltimore and Chicago, part of his early years as well. The other sad news is former Jaguar draft pick Anthony Cesario passed away. And offensive lineman from Colorado State. He was a
third-round pick?
Third-round pick, All-American, was out at 34 years old, out hunting near Steamboat Springs, Colorado, and apparent heart attack, according to the school. So, boy, you're often reminded that you're getting older and everything passes at some point. So that's the news today. Any memory of Anthony Cesario, Gene? Did you scout him at all?
Well, I was certainly here. He wasn't a player that I did. I did not have that area, and I did not cross-check that area at the time. But he was a third-round pick for us, an offensive lineman. He had an outstanding career at Colorado State. And Colorado State there for a while put out a lot of players into the NFL. And that's unfortunate when I heard about that yesterday. He was an outstanding person.
Where's Joey Porter from, Colorado State?
That's correct.
Aaron Smith?
Aaron Smith is actually from
Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado, yeah. But you're thinking of Brady Smith is from there.
Yes, Brady Smith, yes. Mm-hmm.
And was Jason Kraft Colorado State?
Yes.
I think he was.
That's another one, yeah.
That's another one, another Jaguar. Another question in off Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars, and just send your question there to the bottom of the long stretch of questions and comments. How's William Middleton panning out at this point?
William has been a very consistent player. I got to take my hat off to him. He's basically taken over our nickel role. And he's been a bright spot for us on our defense, and I hope that continues.
And another comment in here asking about, we talked about the confidence of Derek Cox. Any concern about Rasheen Mathis in confidence? He's had a couple of tough plays that he's given, some big plays he's been a part of here the last couple of weeks.
I don't think he's ever lacked confidence. I think sometimes for all corners, you're right on the fringe of either being a gambler, which can cost your team, or being a calculated risk taker. And, good corners got to be calculated risk takers by doing a lot of film study, understanding the receiver, the quarterback you're playing against. And that's going to enable you to, take some calculated risk to make some plays on the ball. But you certainly can't be a gambler, because being a gambler can cost your team.
Now, you say that, and a guy who has a reputation of being a gambler is Asante Samuel, who got a pickoff yesterday. He's really, I think, been about as good as anybody at sitting on routes and making that move. At what point do you decide it's too much risk, it's not enough risk, when you're scouting these players? He takes a lot of risk, but he's also made a lot of plays.
Cole, that's a great example. They were jumping a lot of our routes yesterday. I know Dick Duran, who was here, he works with defensive backs, and I always had a lot of respect for him. They had a good feel for what we were doing, and certainly Asante, he's one of the most instinctive corners in the NFL. He's not one of the fastest. He may not be one of the most physical, but he's one of the most instinctive. He does have short clothes. He's got good ball skills. A guy like him, you got to try to double move him some. You got to keep him honest. And he had a chance for a couple balls, and you'll see that in every game when you watch him on film. But he's made a lot of plays at Central Florida and throughout his career because he trusts his eyes.
If they're sitting on routes, shouldn't you throw deep?
Well, that was my point. When you get people that do that a lot, you got to double move them.
Well, why didn't you guys go deep?
Well, again, there's situations that occur during the course of the game that I think sometimes after the fact you might wish you would have done certain things, but I got a scouting cap on, so yeah. That'd be a question more for our coaching staff. You can look at things again after the fact and say you wish you would have done this, you wish you would have done that, and hopefully you don't do that a lot after games, especially losses.
Yeah, we do that, and we call it a post-game show, so that's the way that goes. Another comment on Facebook here. What do you consider the biggest positives from yesterday's game? Thomas says, I still believe our arrow is pointing up. Thanks for chatting with us. So what did you think of the biggest positive?
Well, I'm glad you asked about the positives because the two defensive tackles, Terrence Knighton and Tyson Alualu, played well yesterday. And certainly the long field goal by Scobie was good. I thought Pod hit a couple punts. We did some things, good at times through the course of the game, especially, we look at the defensive situations that we put them in, some long third downs. We had them second and 10 the one time going in before the half with no timeouts. I mean, we had chances to certainly get off the field on third down and a chance to get out of the half with 3 points. It didn't end up that way, but I mean, we had chances, through for sure 3 quarters to legitimately win the game. And there's just too many things with the field position we have that didn't go right to enable us to do so.
All right, how about Sunday? You've got Peyton Manning coming in here, and I can't imagine that it could be at a worse time with the struggles of the pass defense. Is there any hope?
Well, I definitely think there's hope because there's a lot of self-pride in the football team. When you play that way on the road, you expect to come back home and play really well. And so to have back-to-back games, one on the road and one at home, not go your way, that's a difficult one. So I think you'll see the substance of who we are, hopefully this weekend when we line up against the benchmark team, in our division, at least in the last 5 or 6 years, they're clearly, by the leadership of Peyton Manning, been the best in our division.
All right, Jaguars fans, check out the Fan Zone section of Jaguars.com. See how you can win Jaguars tickets and some great Jaguars merchandise. Just look for the list of participating Parts House Car Care Centers, the Parts House, official sponsor of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth, right after this timeout, right here on Jaguars Radio.
High formation. Second and 6 at the 26. And Vic back to throw is going to get hit and sacked. Third time of the game. Sean Considine was there along with Kirk Morrison.
All right, welcome back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith, presented by Sudeth. Final 10 minutes here on a Monday evening. Reminder that Jack Del Rio show tomorrow night at 6 with Brian Sexton, the coach. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna. Vic returns with Brian and Jeff on Wednesday at 6 o'clock.
You know, what I can't figure out is, why do these fans kill me? Here, he's right here. let's hear, what do you got? I mean, tell Smith this and tell Smith that. You tell him.
And you can on Facebook.com/Jacksonville Jaguars. And a reminder, too, When the Jaguars win, we all win at Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue. Get a free barbecue pork sandwich with your game day ticket stub on Monday or Tuesday after a winning game at all participating Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue restaurants. All right, Vic had started to ask about the Colts and that game coming up. I asked this question in the locker room. I wonder if it has any validity. That is, getting over a bad loss sometimes is easier when you know what you have coming up. If the Colts, Vic was saying he thought maybe with the defensive backs, some of the issues there. But in terms of getting attention and moving on, it should be pretty easy for guys to move on to knowing that Peyton Manning and company are next up.
I completely agree with that. I mean, what a greater challenge than the Colts and Peyton Manning. So we have a great test on Sunday, and hopefully we'll grade out well.
How's the – I mean, Manning's putting up big numbers. Is it the same old – same business as usual in Indianapolis this year?
You know, really, all three games. I mean, the first game, in spite of the fact they lost, I mean, he threw the ball all over the field. I mean, he is basically playing comparable to a year ago, which was outstanding. You know, the unfortunate thing for us, there is effort out on the field by the players. But I like to say effort only matters when you execute. And we didn't do that well enough the last 2 weeks. And I'd like to believe against a divisional opponent, again, we will bring our A game.
All right, Vic, here's your pop quiz for the day.
Okay.
There are two starting quarterbacks in the National Football League who are yet to throw an interception. Three starting quarterbacks in the National Football League who are yet to throw an interception. Do you know who they are?
Probably not.
All right. Mark Sanchez,
okay.
Michael Vick, and Peyton Manning. And okay. Among those, you've got Manning with 9 touchdowns, Vick with 6, and Sanchez with 6. So
you got two losses between the three, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, Vick wasn't a starter in the one. Yeah, you got 2 losses.
Yeah.
So there would be 2, 4, 6, and 2. They're 6 and 2, right.
So anyway, the just some numbers there, and looking at Manning's numbers on the year, completing 69%. He's among the league leaders in yards, and quarterback rating 116.9. A little early to start computing quarterback ratings too much. But the point is, as Gene was saying, it's still Peyton Manning.
Yeah, but you know, I know we like to do this statistical stuff, but you can take statistics and use them to build any case you want. I swear you can. Charlie Batch threw an interception on his first pass yesterday. Then they won 38-13 or something like that. You know. So I just win, baby. I don't care how you do it. Just win the game.
And maybe to your point, the number one rated quarterback in the NFL right now is Jay Cutler. Now, the Bears have been off to a surprising start. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens tonight against Green Bay. That should be an awfully entertaining game. But you've got right now he's at 121.2 with the quarterback rate.
What was the score of the San Diego game? 38-13?
The Jaguars game against San Diego.
Yeah.
24-hour rule, Vic. I've forgotten the score already. Let me get it for you here.
Something in that
range.
That's well, I'm asking specifically because that means that both losses were by 25 points. I mean, they were
38-13 is correct.
Yeah. I mean, that's rare. You don't usually. First of all, you usually don't see 25-point differences. That 5 number doesn't come up, and here they are in consecutive weeks.
That's true.
Not a big deal, but it just hit me. You know.
Vic's numerology report is brought to you by Madame Tussaud. Gene, here's as we go forward, the Colts' defense was a question in the preseason. They gave up a big number to Green Bay, then gave up some numbers early on. How are they defensively right now?
They're improved. I think the one area that they would say that they need to get better at is probably their interior defensive line, but certainly on the edges with the Freeney and the Mathis, two of the better pass rushers, certainly combos in the NFL. And, with some of the things that they can do defensively, when they're playing with the lead in particular, few teams do in the NFL. I mean, they're good at getting up the field and creating havoc.
Similar kind of defense in some regards to Philadelphia. It's kind of as Jeff Logman called them, a front-running defense, where once they get out in front, they really know how to disrupt things with the pass rush.
Well, I think any team that is playing with the lead tends to get more sacks.
Mm-hmm.
they play the run on the run. They're up the field edge rushers, like you said, Freeney and Mathis. So they've played defense better as of late. The first game, I know that the Houston Texans ran the ball on them, and we've had some success doing that in the past, and I feel very confident with the team in our division that we should know well, that we'll have a good game plan.
Well, okay. This is a run-the-ball game. There's no question
Always
about
is, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this one especially, because I don't know if the Jaguars' pass defense can hold their coverage long enough for the rush to get there. That's one of the burning questions of this game. Can the Jaguars hold their coverage long enough? I doubt it. And that's why I almost feel like with Vic and with Manning, it's almost like, why even bother? Just drop everybody and play coverage and hope that, you know, you can get that Ducks kind of shooting gallery.
If you drop 11 into coverage, is that your plan?
Yeah, play that 0-11 defense where everyone is just kind of like shooting Ducks, you know, and they're moving in front of the ball. Because I just don't know how are you going to get there in the 1.8 seconds that this guy holds the ball? I can't imagine. So
I think you got to disrupt timing, and you either got to do it with the throw or with the catch. And I feel like any time you can get a quarterback moving where he can't set his feet, you got a great opportunity to win the down. It mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a sack. It doesn't have to be an interception. It could be an errant throw. It could mm-hmm. be, you know, a lot of different things. You don't always have to get a sack and interception for a rush to be effective. You just got to get off the field. You got to win the down. And I think we can do that. I really do.
Another Facebook comment here from one of the listeners wants to know what you think of the draft class so far. It's certainly a small sampling
size.
Question. But any thoughts here at this point of this draft class?
Well, a couple of the players are on IR. It's unfortunate. What they showed some very good things to be able to help us to win. But I like what I see so far. They still got a lot of room to grow. And, I feel like, you know, Tyson in particular, he's done some very good things here early in the season. And I think a lot of what he's done, because he works alongside Aaron Kampman a lot, is due to that mentorship. And certainly Terrence has gained from that as well. So I think you saw last week in the two tackles had their best game together.
All right, we have the Jaguars and Colts on Sunday. We'll get our coverage started at 1 o'clock with the Sunday's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. As Peyton Manning comes to town for his one and only appearance here in Jacksonville for the year. It is going to be a major test. There's no doubt about it. You got the guy who passes the ball better than anybody in the league against a defense that's looking to shore that up. So you're talking
it's
about
a watershed game.
It could be a mate. Yeah, that's exactly the word for it. It's a watershed game. Vic, thanks a lot. Gene, thank you. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening. A reminder, Jaguars coverage continues throughout the week. Tomorrow night, the Jack Del Rio Show at 6. Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna at 6 o'clock on Wednesday with Brian, Jeff, and Vic. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith presented by Sutton. And good night from Jaguar Central.